You're listening to the Unstoppable Business Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Lee. John, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. So when people ask you, what do you do? How do you answer that?
Usually I say a lot of things. It depends on the context, but if it's, it depends on what the environment is, right? Because I run a few businesses. I do a lot of online courses, and I do real estate investment. So what I usually talk about is the new thing that I'm doing, which is the Bulldog Mindset brand. So it's mostly on YouTube. And what I'm doing is I'm teaching men how to be men today, helping them to get their finances in order to become independent financially if they want to build the physiques that they want, to help them with dating and relationships, and really the mindset, what I call the bulldog mindset, going from what I see a lot today in society is the victim mindset, where people blame circumstances and things that happen to them on other people and their environment, as opposed to what I call the bulldog mindset, where you take responsibility for your life and your actions, and you go forward whether things are favorable or not.
Gotcha. That's pretty cool, man. So this bulldog mindset, what sparked the inspiration for this?
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting path. I originally, before I started this company, I've had my simple programmer company in the developer space for quite a while. And that company sort of morphed through some changes as I was going through some changes. And as I started to get into personal development, it became more about personal development. And really what started to happen with that is that on my YouTube channel, especially for Simple Programmer, I would get a lot of questions from young guys that were really a lot focused about relationships and women and dating and just really about, succeeding in life. A lot of what I'd say questions about the kind of masculinity crisis that I see today. And so I started answering a lot of those questions on Simple Programmer, but it doesn't really fit, for a programming audience, even though a lot of the programming audience is young men that need some help in these areas.
Right.
But so I decided to kind of split that off. I also started to feel like, there was this, so that was kind of one path. And then for me myself, I was in my 30s before I really felt like, I felt like for a long time that I was an adult boy, right? Even like in my 30s, I didn't really know what it was to be a man. And it's interesting. I noticed that there's a lot of other guys that seem to have this. And I started to come into my own, around my mid 30s and start to realize and start to figure it out, I guess you could say. And I realized that there's no one really helping guys to figure this stuff out, especially it'd be very beneficial to learn these type of things at a younger age. So that was also the catalyst. So those things together, I decided to pull off and make a Bulldog Mindset brand where I could reach a wider audience. It'd be more of a platform for all men, as opposed to Simple Programmer, which was in the tech industry. And what I was talking about really didn't fit that much there.
Gotcha. Okay. And what kind of effects have you seen with Bulldog Mindset?
What kind of effects? Like what results?
Yeah, in the marketplace or with your the people who watch your videos?
Yeah. So, I've heard so many amazing like success stories just from, one of the coolest things is, so I've got a membership group in there called the Bulldog Mindset Membership. And there's within that, we have a lot of it, kind of the Bulldog Mindset is a lot, very much like Stoic philosophy, pushing yourself, physically, mentally, getting out of your comfort zone. And we've got a lot of members in there that have done some pretty amazing things. Like, just like last week, there was a couple of people that ran marathons and running a marathon. I mean, it's a big deal, right? I never thought I'd run a marathon until I ran my first one, but it's a bigger deal when it's someone who like never ran in their life before and was, overweight and lazy. And, so we've got people that are literally completely transforming their lives, like going from fat, lazy, nerdy, socially awkward person to freaking beast killing it, running a marathon and just like changing their lives. So that's really the
Ah,
big
yeah.
effect. And that's the thing that I'm shooting for is I want to see people transform their lives to realize that they can become, you know, it's a shame when I think when people do not reach their potential because they feel like it's not them or they can't do it or society has told them that it's not their role. And it's amazing to see that. So a lot of stories of people doing that, running marathons, you know, starting their own businesses. So yeah, so I'd say there's that's sort of the effect.
I see. That's awesome, man. So I'm kind of curious about your story. Like, what got you to this point? Like, when did it all start for you? Right after college, did you start your business, or was it something else? Like, did you start working in 9 to 5s?
Yeah, so I actually dropped out of college. I went to college for a
Okay.
year as for CS, and I hated it. Remember taking a Java course, and I had been a self-taught programmer before I went to college. I had started off playing multi-user Dungeons MUDs online through Telnet, which is pretty old school. And I downloaded the source code from some of these, and you know, you couldn't really just like learn. There wasn't the internet, there wasn't like places to learn C++ and stuff. But so what I did was I just looked at the source code and kind of figured it out and made modifications. And so I sort of self-taught myself some C and C++, and I knew a little bit of basic and I'd done some programming in that. So when I came into college, I, you know, it was Java and it was boring stuff. It was like writing iterators to go through loops and like sorting algorithms and stuff. And I thought, man, if this is programming, I don't know about this. This is like, I want to make games and stuff. I don't want to like, you know, do this boring stuff. So I ended up making it through the first, you know, the first year. And then at that time, during the summer, I needed some money. So I got a job as a tester at HP. And during that time, I was sort of working with the team on fixing defects, on like figuring out the root cause of defects, and I was using my programming knowledge to do that. And you know, by the end of the summer, I got promoted up to a sort of a junior developer position. So when it was time to go back to school, I said, "Hey, you know what? I'm already making like $60,000 a year. It doesn't make sense to go to college for 3 more years and pay. So I'll just quit it." Yeah. So I dropped out and I was working for HP. And then, you know, I had an awesome opportunity. I was about 19 at the time, and this company that was recruiting for Xerox for contractors called me up, and they're in Southern California near LA, like Santa Monica, El Segundo, really. And they did the most precursory interview ever. It was just they just asked me like, "Do you know C++? Would you be willing to move to Southern California?" I mean, it was such a light interview. And I, of course, was not qualified for the job at the time, but you know what? They hired me, so I was like, "All right, I'm moving to Southern California." And it was like, I remember it's like $75 an hour. I'm 19. It's like $75 an hour. I was making like 20 or 25, so it's like triple my pay, and some of it was per diem, so it was tax free. So that was kind of the start of my career as a software developer. And at the same time, I was doing modeling and acting, and I had an agency in where I was at Boise, Idaho, and they actually said, "Oh, great, we've got an agency over there. This is where we wanted you to go anyway." So I tried to kind of do both of those things, and I ended up just doing software development because that paid a lot more. And so I did that sort of as a corporate developer for many years, moved around the country, and you know, learned a lot of programming languages. But I was always sort of in this kind of mentoring role. And what ended up happening was I started working on this app, an Android app, for running, called Pacemaker, and it would tell you if you're running too fast or too slow for a certain pace. And it was the first app or first real project that I'd ever finished, right? So when I was working on this, I wanted to give up on it, but I told myself, "No, you know, you're going to finish this thing whether you want to or not." And that was sort of the turning point in my life. It's where I became a finisher, because once I finished that app and put that into the App Store and had that done, my whole philosophy on life sort of changed, and I really became a person who finishes things. And that is, I mean, if there's one piece of advice I could give people that are struggling, that are trying to like build a business or really get somewhere in life, it's be if you start something, finish it. because that was the thing that changed my life. That was the thing that really put me on this path. So from there, I ended up getting an opportunity. I started writing my blog at the work I was at, started Simple Programmer and just started blogging 3 times a week. And then, you know, through that, the blog started to get popular. People contacted me for different opportunities. And one of the opportunities was a company called Pluralsight. At the time was very, very small tech training company, and they needed someone to make an Android course. So I auditioned for that. I they hired me to do it, and I created their Android course. And then, you know, I started creating online courses for them. I ended up creating like 55 courses for them. And then,
wow,
you know, yeah. So from there, it kind of things started to blow up. The company, Simple Programmer, started to gain more traction. I was being on podcasts, I was making podcasts, I started a YouTube channel, and then I created my own course for Simple Programmer called How to Market Yourself as a Software Developer, and launched that thing. I think my list at the time was maybe 3,300 people, and I ended up doing like $25,000 in sales to that list on the launch, which made me realize, wow, this is pretty amazing. So I started creating courses on that platform, and that's pretty much, you know, how I got. That's pretty much my story.
Wow, that's awesome, man. So during that time when you were building all this, like building Simple Programmer, what were some big challenges that you had to face during that time?
I mean, the biggest one I would say is just the thing that everyone says about anything, right? Like real estate investing or building an online business, or which is, well, if this works, why isn't everyone doing this? Right. This can't possibly work. This has to be a scam in some way, right? It's like, you can't really sell things. You can't really like make money as an Amazon affiliate through your links. It's just, you can't really make it on YouTube. That's, you know, you can't really, you know, sell a course. No one's going to buy a $200 course from you on, you know, whatever, you know. And so that was the biggest thing, is like realizing that, you know, 90% of the population, they want, you know, they believe a lie that's too easy. That sounds too easy, right? It's not actually easy, but, you know, the actual, I guess the thing is easy, right? The thing that you're doing is easy, but doing it is hard, right? So it's actually a really easy formula is what I would say, but you have to, putting in the work and executing it is hard. So that was really the biggest struggle that I faced, the first struggle. And then another big struggle was as the company started to grow, right? You know, I remember one point I was, you know, my week looked like creating Pluralsight courses. It looked like, you know, creating videos, 3 videos for YouTube every week, editing the videos and getting them published, descriptions, thumbnails, all that stuff. Creating a podcast every week, editing the podcast, putting that out. Creating a blog post, editing the blog post, getting pictures for the blog post, putting links in the blog post, getting that out there, and a bunch of other things, right? And I was sort of on this treadmill where it's like, okay, every week this is my life. It's like 50, 60, 70 hours worth of work, and I can't stop because, you know, it's got to get done. And that was a big challenge, is I needed to hire people. I needed to hire a team. I needed to get other people doing some of this work, and just trying to figure that out and letting go of stuff and learning the process of how to hire people and what people to hire and how to instruct them. That was a huge, huge challenge. And I think that's another, just a big one that most people face, like that are entrepreneurs. If you don't overcome that challenge, you're going to be stuck because you can only go so far on your own.
Are you an expert or course creator trying to monetize your online course? Well, use our one-page template to get more paying students to your online course without marketing overwhelm or sleazy sales tactics. You can download this for free at unstoppablebusiness.com. Now, back to the show. You said that executing was hard and that hiring was part of the challenges as well. I guess if you could go back and teach yourself one skill at that time, what skill would that be?
I would say hiring, delegating tasks, because, you know, I thought about it, like if I were to start a business today, right? with already having a little bit of capital, right? Being able to invest a little bit into it, how would I do it today? Like, what is the biggest limitation? What is the biggest thing? And I would start it by making sure that everything in the business from the very beginning wasn't something I needed to do. You know, maybe initially I would do it and then train someone on it, but immediately taking the things off my plate so that I could actually build the business instead of being in the business. Because one thing I've, you know, discovered with all of my businesses is that I'm still sort of a limiting factor. Even though I've hired people, right? A lot of the businesses are based around my name or my brand. And that's also a limiting factor, right? Because I have to produce, I have to be involved in some way in that content and the growth of it. And, you know, really to get things from the start so that they're what I consider automated. But if I could learn that skill, that would be the most valuable for sure.
Gotcha. Okay. And what are some ways that you've found to automate like content creation? Because some people might think like, oh, that's gotta be me. Like I have to be part of that.
Yeah, so if it is you doing it, there's ways, you know, I think Gary Vaynerchuk's kind of method is one that I also had discovered, which is where you create one sort of masterpiece of content and then you chop it up into the little pieces. So for instance, right now I make YouTube videos on the Bulldog Mindset channel, and what I do is I have my editor take that, and he takes the audio for it and makes a podcast out of it. And then he chops up little pieces of the videos and he uses them for clips on Instagram, and then also to make quote cards out of it, different quotes that I say in there for Instagram as well. So that's one way to make it so that you can sort of automate that. The other piece of the automation is, you know, when I do videos for YouTube. At one point, I was doing two videos a day for YouTube for like 2 years. And the only way you can produce that much content is if the primary thing that you do is record the video. And that's what I did, was I set up automation so that I literally recorded video and I put it into Dropbox. And I also made the process of recording the video very easy because I had a pretty standard format that I followed. I have everything on my desk that, you know, I can automatically transfer the files over, made it real simple. And then I have my editor pick up from there, and he edits the video and he creates a description and the title and the thumbnail and schedules it and does all of that work so that I can just focus on creating the video, right? So that makes it so that you can do that. Same thing with other types of content. With my blog posts, when I was writing the blog posts, now I've got a team that's writing them for Simple Programmer. I would just write it in a Word document or a Google Doc, and then the editing team would be responsible from then out to do the edits, to post it on the blog, to schedule it, to put in images and links and all of that stuff. So that's how you can automate some of those things. Now, in addition to that, you can also automate by, you know, and probably better is taking you out of the equation, right? Is figuring out the process, making the process, and then getting other people to follow. And that's what I've been doing a lot with Simple Programmer. So with Simple Programmer, all the articles written on the blog, now I don't write the articles. We have volunteer writers that write the articles, and I've got an editor and her team manage that. So that's one way, and we're getting like three or four pieces of content created per week for free, aside from the cost of the editor. And then you can do the same thing with YouTube, right? So I've got on the Simple Programmer YouTube channel, it's primarily me now, but I've got two or three other people that are creating videos for it. And eventually what I'll probably try to do is just make it all other people that are creating the videos, or you know, I'm just one of five. And that's another way to automate that kind of content creation. The key thing though is to do it in such a way that you have one primary platform where you're putting the quality in. That's really key, is it doesn't matter, you know, it's more important to have one platform that you're making really good quality content on than it is to be on every single platform, right? I think that's the mistake a lot of people make, is, you know, for the most part, like if you don't know how to engage the platform correctly, it's not going to matter. It's just noise, right? I've got a Twitter account for Simple Programmer that's got like 50,000 followers on it. If I tweet a video or something, it gets watched by like five people because I don't engage on that
Oh.
platform, right? It's you, if you, but there's a lot of people who have a Twitter following of maybe like 20,000 people, and if they were to put a video out, or because they're, you know, the engagement on their account on that platform, they might get like 5,000 views from that. So it's all about engaging and choosing the core platform and not diluting it just because you want to be everywhere.
Gotcha. Okay. So, John, after you've funneled in all this traffic, all this engagement, all these people coming into your brand, I guess, what do you sell? Do you sell like a membership? Is there something else that you sell to people coming into your brand?
Yeah, so Simple Programmer sells through there. I sell a bunch of courses, and I've got a couple of books through Simple Programmer, but I'm sort of going to revise that one and have some and try to have one core product within there. So that's kind of, you know, a mess right now, I'd say. But there's a, you know, there's a course on how to market yourself, on 10 steps to learn a thing quickly. There's a few things in there. With Bulldog Mindset, what I'm doing is primarily, you know, I organize a little bit better based on what I learned from Simple Programmer. And primarily what I'm selling is a membership. So if someone wanted to check it out, they could go to bulldogmindset.com and then take the quiz there. There's a quiz that tells you what your bulldog score is from like 0 to 100. And then I give you some advice and some help on how to raise that score. Basically, you know, going to from the victim mindset to bulldog mindset, like how to, you know, figure out these key pieces of your life. And from there's an option to join the membership, and that membership is primarily the thing that I'm selling with Bulldog Mindset. We've got several hundred members, and it's got a community on Facebook, and there's weekly video lessons that come out as well as a Q&A, and we've got like a Strava group for running and stuff like that. So really, that's kind of the focus there. And then also through Bulldog Mindset, I sell personal coaching, one-on-one coaching on there, and that's, you can find out more about that on the bulldogmindset.com on the coaching tab. But that's, I don't really advertise that very much because there's only one of me and I'm usually full on the coaching slots. But yeah, that's the primary thing. So I'll probably add something else in there, you know, to create a course probably at a little bit of a higher level. But right now I'm trying to keep it simple. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So I guess what kind of projects, other than the Bulldog Mindset, are you working on that's most exciting right now?
Good question. Let me see. What am I working on? That's, you know, I think that's really the main thing. I mean, aside from like I'm
Mm-hmm.
gonna start training for a 100-mile race.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I'm mostly focused on Bulldog Mindset and kind of revamping Simple Programmer. And of course, I mean, I'm doing real estate investment as well. I've got several deals that I'm always working on, but
Gotcha. Okay. So what's the vision for you, John? Like, what's the 5 to 10 year vision?
yeah, that's a good question. You know, I would see really in terms of, I don't like to set like numerical goals because to me a goal should be something that you have direct control over. But if we're talking vision, I would like to get Simple Programmer up to, you know, $100,000 a month company, $1 million a year company, and Bulldog Mindset. I think both of those companies can reach that level. I'd like to publish a book, for a more mainstream book for Bulldog Mindset. That's sort of in the works. And yeah, you know, that's really the big thing is really just reaching more people with the message, making more of an impact. That's the thing that I'm focused on. I've sort of, you know, it's kind of interesting because I've been semi-retired for the last like 6 or 7 years. And when I say retired, I mean I don't have to work if I don't want to work, right? I've got passive income coming in
Right.
that for the rest of my life from real estate mostly. And so when I'm thinking about like what I want to do, it's different, right? It's not, before I had quote retired, it was all about like trying to build enough passive income to retire or you know, increase income. But now it's more about the impact that I can make, right? So, you know, the more that I'm able to grow a company and make money in the business, the more that I'm able to use that to have a greater impact, and that's really what's important to me. I mean, sure, it's nice to increase the income level a little bit, and it only goes so far though. And really, what I'm focused on is just reaching more people, spreading the message, making as big of an impact as possible. So that's really the vision in the next, 5 years or so.
That's cool, man. So, John, what drives you to create this impact, to wake up every day and think about creating more impact for more people?
I would say that it is purpose. It's my purpose in life. And people always ask me, like, how do you find your purpose in life? What is it? And what I say is that the way that you find your purpose in life is you figure out the one thing that you would do no matter what you were in life, no matter what your station was, whether you're the president of the United States or a janitor mopping the floor, what is the one thing that you would do and no one could stop you from doing? And see, when you put it that way, like for me, for instance, it is learning as much as I can about something and then teaching it to other people, simplifying it and teaching other people. I'll always do that. Like, I've always done that my whole life, and that's what my purpose is. And so I know, when I wake up in the morning, that's what I'm built to do. That's what I need to do, and I feel driven to do that. I don't always feel motivated to do it, right? But I know that that's my purpose, and that's the thing. When you are living your purpose, that's when you find something that it'll bring you fulfillment. And I think it's really important too today in society, right? Like, to some degree, you just have to pick something and go with it. And you just have to choose it, because it's really I easy to have a nihilistic view of life. And a lot of, especially the younger generations, are embracing sort of a nihilistic philosophy, which says that there's no meaning in life, that everything is pointless. Especially, we're not as very religious as a society as we used to be. So when you take out that component, when you start to have, some of the history, and we see, the way that people operate and what human nature is, you can really become despondent and say, damn, there's no meaning in life. There's no purpose here. And what's really important for us to do is to create meaning within our own lives, to decide what is meaningful. The example I always use is, hey, I just ran a marathon like a couple weeks ago, and it's like, why did I run the marathon? Like, I wasn't going to win it. I'm 240 pounds. The guys that win it are like 130 pounds. Like, they, no matter how hard I train, there's no way I'm going to win a marathon. And then, so why do it, right? And why do the months of training required and the grueling training to do it? It's not necessarily the best way to get in shape if you're trying to lose fat. Like, why do, and why this distance? Why 26.2 miles? Why, what is significant about that? Why even care? And what does it matter if I do it in under 4 hours or, that specific time? It's all because I've created the meaning behind it. You see, there is no point in running. There is no point in running a marathon. There's no point in running a race. There's no point in anything that we do in life. None of it. Making money, it doesn't actually matter, right? All of this stuff is just, it's really fucking pointless. Like, all of life is pointless. But we give it meaning. We choose to imbue it with meaning. And that is what is critical in life and part of it. And then I think, as an entrepreneur, you're going to be faced with this existential crisis many, many times. And you have to wake up in the morning and you have to say, you know what? I'm doing what I'm doing because I have chosen to give this particular thing meaning, and because it is my purpose in life, and that's why I'm doing it. It has nothing to do with the money, it has nothing to do with the fame, it has nothing to do with being happy. It has to do with creating a purpose, in a meaning in life, and living my purpose. And that's my view on it.